Okay. Well, looks like Obama Lawn Care has a long road to hoe. Obama Lawn Care. Well, what do you know?
Live from Fargo, North Dakota to Columbia, South Carolina, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, paleo blogger and author John Durant, all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who asks, how do you like his costume? It's Michael Feldman.
Oh, boy. Wonder Woman there. She's Wonder Woman. You know the brunette hair?
It's a thing, huh?
Apparently, it's a thing I didn't know I had at this late date.
Yeah.
How do you like that? It's very nice. Wonder Woman, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Nix, in full costume.
Almost.
Too bad we're on radio. I've often said that, though. Let's see. In the news, several congressmen are secretly pleased as punch with their Obamacare coverage. Speaker John Boehner, for example, is getting a new spine. It's covered. Obamacare is going to a scratch-off lottery system. You scratch four, you get coverage head to toe. Now you can sign up with a note tied to a rock thrown through Catherine Sebelius's window. That's the other. Very easy sign up, really. Simple. You know, lots of folks are going overseas for health care now. Did you know a hip in Belgium is one quarter the cost? But how do you know it's not chocolate? That's the only problem. Even if it's good chocolate, still, you don't want a chocolate hip. Coming soon, of course, a Call of Duty Obamacare for Xbox. In non-Obamacare news, McDonald's workers' Mac resource site for underpaid workers suggests Mac welfare. Really did, too, actually. That's kind of not even funny. The galaxy 30 billion light years away sounds promising. If you have the time, you know. A German Chancellor Angela Merkel complains when nobody calls either. If nothing else, the NSA taps have brought Germany and France together. Not an easy thing to do. NSA taps? Taps for NSA? Possible headline, I'm thinking. 35 world leaders tap, but only Berlusconi is worth listening to. Must be a lot of roaming charges, I would imagine. You're tapping everybody in the world, I think it would be prohibitive after a while. In Greece, DNA tests prove blonde children occur randomly. I think we all know cases. The coldest object in the universe, surprisingly, not anybody I know. Okay, I shouldn't have put that in there. Wasn't funny, and I'll hear about it. Junk DNA now thought to be responsible for your face. For one's face. Washing your hands after a failed task makes you feel more optimistic, unless the water is scalding, which sends you into depression and a downward spiral. More female officials in NCAA football. Really, the only difference is no booth reviews. She says, goes. I had to explain that. I'm surprised. I thought that was so obvious that I didn't say that. Due to concussions, Brett Favre now thinks he's the Fonz. Memory loss, huh? How convenient, Brett. Elation at discovery of a vegetarian piranha, muted somewhat when found to eat vegetarians. I knew there was a catch in that piranha story. Regardless of outcome of the World Series, I predict this is the last year for beards. Looking like the Hebrew National Salamis of the Chabad League. Does not inspire fear in opponents. Republicans now squabbling over which way immigration should go, in or out. Survey finds the best place to be a woman is anywhere you are, dear. And women, once again, it's the century of the women. It's another woman thing. Women are better at multitasking. Men are better at multi-having to do it. That's all the news that is. And thank you so much. Multi-thanks. Okay, some of that is true. Some of it is a slight exaggeration, but not much. And Freak Fest, it's Freak Fest weekend coming up here, so let your freak flag fly if you got one. And I think that means hair, doesn't it? Freak flag? It was your long hair, I think, is freak flag. I always imagined it would be. Like you're a freak flag.
It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
Jimi Hendrix.
What?
It's from a Jimi Hendrix song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Which song?
It kind of slips my mind, but it was on like one of his first albums.
Okay. The Paleo Manifesto. Now, there's a man, John Durant. He lives in Manhattan, but he is actually... He doesn't like to be called a caveman, but he's a paleolith. I guess that's fair to say. He runs barefoot through Central Park and that sort of thing, and eats only fruits and nuts. And I don't know if he actually hunts and gathers in Central Park. We'll find out. He's online with us from New York. John Durant, how are you, John?
I'm here.
How are you? Pretty good?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good. So this all started because of you had a job that was driving you crazy and making you drink and eat and... causing you stress?
Yeah, I think it's a typical experience for people at their first desk job. Their health sort of hits a wall. Wow. And then I didn't want to just do some goofy calorie counting weight loss diet and stumbled on this evolutionary approach.
Nothing goofy, just the caveman lifestyle.
Right, nothing goofy about being a caveman in New York City.
How tired are you of hearing the caveman thing? That's got to be tiresome.
Oh, I've been getting caveman jokes for about 7 years. The problem is, if I get defensive, that's what the Geico cavemen do, and so I can't get defensive about it.
I know.
So,
did they rip you off, the Geico people?
You know, the caveman thing has been going back. You know, they've been doing jokes about that since the Flintstones and before.
Yeah.
So I don't have any trademark on it.
Yeah. Isn't it true? I mean, living in Manhattan is sort of like living in caves, isn't it? Everyone's in their own little cave.
It's a good insight. It's all the urbanites here that and these tiny concrete apartments that are really cave-like.
Yeah, and they're stacked up. So many more people should probably be doing this in here. Now you run barefoot through Central Park. Does that get a lot of attention or?
It did a few years ago, before the book Born to Run was a big hit. And so initially it was children grabbing their parents and saying, "Oh my God, what is that crazy person doing?"
Yeah.
And now people just say, "Oh, gross."
and the fact that they can't hear you coming up behind them, is that upsetting to some other runners and passersby?
Yes. You have to make sure not to scare people too much.
Yeah. What is the art to running barefoot? Not everyone. I mean, if you're used to running in shoes, there's a difference, isn't there?
Yeah, the main difference is that these modern running shoes often have a thick heel, which encourages us to land on our heel, what's called a heel strike, and this can end up. A lot of the science is starting to show this can end up causing damage to your knee and ankles and shins and things like that. The point isn't that everybody needs to take off their shoes and always be barefoot or run barefoot or anything like that. It's that we need to realize that the natural human stride is probably more gentle with a gentle forefoot strike rather than a heel strike.
Yeah. I read something recently about the arch on the foot that actually comes from hanging on vines, or it's designed for hanging on vines. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been enough time of bipedalism where it's well adapted to supporting our weight, and our toes are different lengths than chimpanzees and things like that. So.
No, I've noticed that too. Although the Cleveland Zoo was instrumental in all this, right? The primate house, the gorillas of the Cleveland Zoo was kind of inspirational for you?
Yeah, I go on a trip to the... See, if you start a health book talking about human beings, you can't get any agreement because everybody has their own opinions and it's hard to put those biases aside.
Yeah.
So I went to the Cleveland Zoo and they shifted the gorilla diet from basically some processed fiber bars made out of wheat, corn, and soy to leafy vegetables closer to what the gorillas would eat in the wild. And miracle of miracles, one of them loses 50 pounds, the other loses 30 pounds, the behavioral problems go away. And that's the approach they take in zoos. They combine the best of modern medical technology, and then to prevent chronic health conditions, they mimic relevant aspects of the animal's natural habitat. Yeah.
The irony is you can buy gorilla bars now. They're sort of tasty. I don't care for them.
I've had one. The ones I had were very bland. They did not taste. I called them fiber bars from hell.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see also there's this, just came out, this thing about Neanderthals ate stomach goop and you can too? Did you happen to see that?
I did see that. That was interesting. And there was also one of the big microbiome organizations was looking at hunter-gatherers, and they would eat stomach contents. The Hadza in Tanzania would eat the stomach contents of their prey, and they would, you know, we think about washing our hands to get germs off. Mm-hmm. They would actually take the stomach contents and rub them all over their hands to basically take the microorganisms from the animal they just killed.
So to acquire bacteria.
To acquire bacteria.
Interesting. How did that work out for them? I mean, is there a benefit to that? Because there are good bacteria, as we all know, but
right. I mean, they're a pretty healthy people, and we've realized that we overdid it in the war against microorganisms, and we overtake antibiotics and things like that. So we need to. What will become common? Dan Lieberman, a Harvard professor who has a book out too, he just suggested this. It'll be common after people get a course of antibiotics to have a course of probiotics to help people reestablish healthy microorganisms in their stomach and in their body after killing a lot off.
Yeah. Well, is it called CHYME? Is that right? CHYME? Is that CHYME? The stomach stuff?
You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Because Friedhof Nansen, 1893, ate Inuit reindeer chyme. And said that it has undergone a sort of stewing in the process of semi-digestion, while the gastric juice provides a somewhat sharp and aromatic sauce. Many will no doubt make a wry face at the thought of this dish, but they really need not do so. I have tasted it, found it not uneatable. So that's sort of a recommendation, although somewhat sour, uneatable. Like fermented milk. So, I don't know, is that popular now? Is that being served at fancy Manhattan eateries?
Not yet.
Stomach
not
chime.
Yet. Though in Iceland you can get the rotten shark's head.
Oh, yeah.
They bury it underground for a long time, then dig it up, and it's been fermenting nicely. I'm sure it has a nice smell.
Now, have you traveled widely and studied various types of people to arrive at your paleo diet and so forth and lifestyle?
You know, I didn't have the opportunity to actually go live with an indigenous tribe. The sad thing is there aren't that many left, and there's so much contact with outsiders that, you know, it's fewer tribes every year and fewer people. I would love to do that at some point, but I did the adventure at the zoo. I got a tour of Harvard's fossil archive to examine Paleolithic fossils and skeletons and skulls and compare them to the farmers that came afterwards. And the farmers were shorter and had terrible teeth and all these signs of disease on their bones and things like that. So I did get to do that.
Yeah. So a lot of this is just basically avoid farming, right? And a lot of farmers would feel the same way, I think, at this point, given, you know, the way it's going.
It suggests that all these grains that have come to dominate modern diets have some drawbacks. You know, they're not evil. I don't want to start another, you know, fad diet where telling people that you can only eat these foods and not those foods. I'm not sure that's helpful. But all this wheat, corn, and soy that we're consuming, either directly or in the processed foods in the middle of the grocery store or the feed that's fed to industrial animals, really means that for most people, wheat, corn, and soy is the staple of their diet, and there's some drawbacks when you eat so much of those seeds.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have to actually go out? I mean, do you hunt and gather in Central Park, if that's legal, or Did you have to go out and learn how to hunt, for example?
I did. I didn't do it in Central Park, which you can run into some issues there. I went deer hunting in Michigan, where I'm from, and shot my first deer. So that was it was, you know, it's, if you haven't done it before, it's, as other authors have written, like Michael Pollan, it can be a very moving experience.
Yeah. Was it a problem for you? I mean, how did you do?
I did fine.
Emotionally, you know.
I shot Bambi. I shot a male yearling. So that, but it was one shot. It was a clean kill. Field dressed it on the spot. Helped butcher it. Cooked it for others. Shared it. And it was a great experience. I didn't have it. It wasn't hugely. I'm not an enormously emotional person, so it wasn't a very. There were no tears. But it was a very respectful activity.
Yeah. Did you find it curiously satisfying?
You know, just like growing vegetables in your own garden, it just tastes better. This sounds a little diabolical to say, but animals that you kill yourself also taste better.
Yeah.
But you're connected to it. You look it in the eye. You're a part of the food system. You're moving closer to the food system, not farther away from it. And it, you know, it's very much the circle of life sort of ethic.
Yeah. So were there any, like, Paleolithic vegetarians? Or were there vegetarian tribes?
There weren't.
No.
I mean, not the, if you go far enough back in our lineage, where we diverge with chimpanzees, we were mostly frugivores, fruit-eating. But even chimpanzees eat some meat. There are no known vegetarian indigenous populations. So it's fair to say that we're adapted to eating meat.
Mm. Is there a movement now to kill only invasive species, if necessary?
It's a burgeoning movement. I wouldn't say it's huge, but it's a way, whether it's eating Asian carp that's, you know, starting to get into the Great Lakes, or people cooking kudzu in the South, that green vine that
it's everywhere.
Overtakes everything. This is a way in which hunters, invasivores, can play a very important role in the food system to keep these singularly invasive species from despoiling the habitat.
Yeah. And I know you're opposed to industrial foods of any sort, right, or processes. But what about the 3D printed meat? Are there possibilities here? Because this could actually meet a lot of...
I'm in favor of innovation and entrepreneurs experimenting. We need to make sure we're not too hubristic. There are, whenever we try to re-engineer something, it may work for, you know, 9 times out of 10, but the 10th time it may fail spectacularly. Or the history of food is us re-engineering things and not realizing that there were drawbacks. Mm-hmm. From the original farmers domesticating wheat, and so I'm just concerned that we're going to make some changes and there's going to be an unanticipated drawback that we didn't see.
Yeah, but it would ease some qualms perhaps about the source of it. If it comes from a printer, how bad can it be? No animal actually died to produce this meat.
Correct. For ethical issues, absolutely. I think there'll probably be some health things that have to be overcome. I'm starting to advise a company called Exo that is pioneering cricket-based foods. And there are really amazing health, ethical, and environmental reasons that we should be eating more insects. Everybody gets grossed out by that, but even under kosher law, halal, crickets, grasshoppers, locusts are considered clean. Most cultures around the world do eat some type of insects. The amino acid profile is amazing. They're accustomed to living in close quarters. They don't require a lot of resources. So there are a lot of arguments, and the main argument against them is gross.
I noticed, actually, speaking of kosher law, that comes up. The kosher laws come up quite a bit in the book, and the law of Moses is hand washing, which I didn't. Is that like the 11th commandment? Wash your hands. I wasn't aware of that one.
I really wasn't either. There's a chapter on infectious disease exploding and how early religions, particularly Judaism, were in many ways cultural adaptations to disease. It when you think about hand washing, it is the simplest, most effective, cheapest form of hygiene ever discovered. Mm-hmm. And there are three injunctions for either Jewish priests or Jewish people to wash their hands in the Torah. And, scholars have argued throughout the years of whether this, how ritualistic this was or whether it had an actual hygienic function. But the point of view that I really push in that chapter is it instead of thinking that we needed to wash our hands in order to pray, perhaps prayer emerged as a mechanism to get people to wash their hands.
Yes, no, you're serious. That's entirely
possible.
I'm serious.
I mean, think about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is basically a time every 7 days when a very clean God wants everyone to come to his very clean temple and wash their hands, bathe, wash their clothes, clean their house. And if you don't do this, then you die or you get excluded from the community. So it just in a very similar dynamic to parents telling a child to brush their teeth.
Yeah.
And the child's like, oh, I don't want to brush my teeth. Well, why do I have to? Well, there are these invisible things. Right. So that's what I explore in that chapter.
Yeah. Moses came down and said, and by the way, brush your teeth. That's
well, when you put yourself 3,000 years ago, and people, you can't see germs, and they spread in such ingenious ways, and infectious disease is the number one cause of mortality. People are just dropping dead. You don't know what's killing them, and you think the gods are killing them. You think that they're being struck down for doing something wrong or evil. And so the early notions of sin in Judaism and in Zoroastrianism and some other early religions, early notions of sin were very closely tied to hygienic or unhygienic behavior. So I'm not the first. I mean, that's one of the oldest themes in scholarship. I'm not the first to point that out.
And, of course, circumcision, which, you know, there's got to be a reason for it. An advantage to it otherwise, you know, so there must be a reason for it.
There's lots of scientific papers that on how Jewish women have throughout history had very low rates of cervical cancer. Cervical cancer is caused by the human papillomavirus, and they've found that circumcision is an effective method of reducing transmission of HPV.
Yeah.
It doesn't reduce transmission of all STDs, but it does reduce transmission of that one.
Small consolation, but still. You know. For the male, I mean, not for the female, it's great. Then this other thing I have, you know, I mean, people will say, well, okay, Paleolithic, that's great, and maybe the eating actually would be better and a lot. But, you know, they live to what, age 35 or something? How old are you right now?
I'm 30.
You're 30.
So I only have 5 years left.
You got 5 years left on this particular lifestyle, so.
I'll switch when I'm 34.
your next big thing, right?
That's right. Well, look, some of that was just infant mortality. And a lot of people were dying of things that don't kill us today, whether it's wild animals, exposure to the elements, you break your arm, you know, that could be a death sentence. When it comes, what we struggle with today is chronic health conditions. Mm. And when you look at indigenous populations, Paleolithic hunter-gatherers, or just wild animals living in their natural habitat, they're not obese, they're not getting diabetes, their teeth aren't perfect, but they're pretty darn good, they don't have to go to the dentist. So when it comes to chronic health conditions, we can learn a lot from this evolutionary Paleolithic way of living.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, I know you'd recommend a polar bear plunge and a schwitz afterwards. Is that basically a good thing to do?
Well, I'm wearing my polar bear, Coney Island Polar Bear Club sweatshirt right now. Our our lives have become very monotonous and very temperature controlled. We move from car to office to home, or really from home to car to office, and it's pretty much the same temperature all the time. And there's some interesting studies that suggest that never being cold may partly have caused the rise of obesity. And so temperature variation can be very healthy. It helps reduce inflammation. The Spartans were avid users of a early sauna after their athletic contests. Athletes today will do hot and cold extremes, which can be very beneficial. And then even our internal temperature, when people get a fever, that's an elevated body temperature. It's an adaptive response by the body to fight infection. Mm. And so these days, everybody, as soon as they get a fever, they immediately start popping medications, which can relieve some of the symptoms. But they're realizing that when you lower someone's fever, it can oftentimes extend the illness. So one of the lessons here when we think about temperature is realizing that some of this variation can be a good thing, both in our external habitat and in our internal bodily temperature.
Mm-hmm. Have you flirted with being a neolith?
I am a neolith.
You are a neolith.
I take the best of the old with the best of the new. That's really what I'm about.
So it's really the Neolith manifesto.
No, that's my sequel. I need something to write after
your
this
first
book,
obviously. So be. You know, they solved some of the problems that the Paleolithic people had in the Neolithic. Are we still in the Neolithic period, or are we in something else now?
As I refer to it, I say Paleolithic age, agricultural age, industrial age, and now we're in the information age. See, because Paleolithic is old stone age, Neolithic is new stone age, and we're not about the stones anymore.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, less than the other thing is this, I mean, you do this killer cardio thing, don't you? I mean, this, what's it called, CrossFit? That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, that's like killer. Each day is a different killer cardio thing, right?
I think being sedentary every day is crazy.
I don't take that personally. I think you're right.
It's intense by design. It doesn't appeal to everyone. It tends to appeal to very competitive personalities that thrive on team sports and things like that.
Yeah.
And what it's very good at, people can argue about optimal exercise protocol until the cows come home. Should I do 3 sets of 10 or 10 sets of 3 or whatever?
Yeah.
It's very good at motivating people. And that's actually the big challenge of our era. We don't need some new contraption in the gym that is going to collect dust. We don't need some new exercise video or, you know, some gimmicky thing. The real fundamental issue why people don't move anymore is because we've lost the reason, the motivation to move. We don't have to. So any type of fitness regimen that motivates people effectively, it could be yoga, it could be CrossFit, it could be running, really is the most important thing.
Right. And would we still find you sprinting on your treadmill at the gym? Is that...
I don't work out at a conventional gym anymore, so I'll actually go out on the street in New York and do some sprints. sometimes I use a rowing machine at CrossFit. I do some barefoot runs in the park. I really mix it up. Again,
yes.
Variety. If you look at hunter gatherers in the wild, they're not running in a straight line on a flat surface at the same speed over and over again.
No.
Every day. They're sometimes sprinting. There's a ton of walking. Women and are digging up tubers from the ground, which is actually a very difficult thing to do. And walking 4 miles with their kids you know, with their with a child in one arm and food in the other, and so just very very active people. So we can learn a lot from them.
So what are you having for dinner tonight?
What am I having? Yeah. I haven't killed it yet, so I don't know. I'll probably have. Let's see. What do I have in the fridge? I'll probably make myself a burger without the bun, a grass-fed burger with some lettuce, tomato, onion, pickles, and a little side salad, and maybe some. I think I have cauliflower. So
yeah.
It.
I could live with that. That's not so radical.
It's not.
No stomach contents or anything.
That I've become a carnivore, and I actually don't eat more meat than I used to eating a conventional diet. I've basically stopped eating wheat, corn, and soy pretty much, and I've substituted more vegetables in their place.
Well, so, it's very interesting, I must say, and I'm taking some of this to heart. Not the movie much, but I recommend it. The Paleo Manifesto, Ancient Wisdom for Lifelong Health. John Durant. John, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
It was fun.
Yeah. We'll look for you on the streets of New York. Okay. Interesting. Paleolithic lifestyle. I'm living some sort of a lithic. I'm not sure which one it is. Paleolithium. I'm living paleolithium lifestyle.
Paleolithium?
Yeah.
That's another book altogether.
Are you there? Are you still working out at all? Are you
yeah.
do any, yeah? And you had a diet that was actually very good for you. That was
yeah. I still do.
You dropped a lot of those carbohydrates and things. And
yeah, no, he's right though about the wheat and corn and those
yeah.
types of grains. I think.
But didn't they have wheat and corn when they were out hunting and gathering? Didn't they run into corn or wheat?
Probably not as much.
No. That's a recent invention. Yes. Do you know? Yeah.
Process.
It was around, but it took work to process.
And so
okay.
Go first.
Okay. Well, they must have occasionally run, like in Kansas, if you're a paleolithic man in Kansas, you're going to run into a wheat field. What do you
probably,
do with it? You
probably
can make
a different
beer.
Kind of wheat, too. I think they
make. I mean, you can make, you know, I think they made beer originally, which has got to be a good use of that, of the grain thing. Cause
I'd have to agree there.
Less harmful if made into alcohol, I think.
I don't know if there's any science behind that, but I'm just going to go with it.
Science, science.
Science,
you know,
science.
Come on.
I don't know.
Have another class. All right, so, okay, here, we get a little song. That's just coming up here.
This
Hi,
is
Jeff, by the way. I don't mean to ignore you.
Hey, Michael.
Jeff, doesn't Jeff look like a pumpkin?
The shirt, you mean the shirt, then he's got the orange
yeah,
shirt,
the orange
and then he's got an orange and black kind of shirt. It's cute. It's good.
So,
kids going out for trick-or-treat? And
yes, twice.
Twice?
Once today and then once on Thursday.
Really?
Wow.
Is that for religious reasons or something? They go out twice?
Elm Grove trick-or-treat.
Oh, it's Elm Grove reasons. Okay.
Thursday, yeah.
They go around to different cities and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And did they make their own costumes? Did your wife help them or did you help them? Yeah.
Half and half.
Yeah. What are we going as this year?
My daughter is Marie Antoinette.
Oh, Marie Antoinette. Well, that's a natural for her. That really is perfect.
Cade is a ninja.
Cade's a ninja. Sounds cool. Everyone is according to type. Sounds great. All right, we got here this little tune.
So there's a little Halloween tune called The Great Pumpkin Waltz.
Sounds good.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Maybe it's the sent us that you... Maybe that was the problem, instead of the sense us. Okay. Well, never mind. You, those who are at home, doesn't matter. Fazel Hayati says, is NSA listening to this program? Wouldn't it be embarrassing if they weren't?
Pledge now.
They listen to everybody else, and they don't listen to this program. Kathy Finch, what color are your eyes? You know, how does anyone know, really? Sometimes they're blue-gray, and sometimes they're gray-blue. A lot of times they're nondescript, and the bloodshot is really the most common. And I don't know where that comes from, but, you know, you never really know your own eye color. You know, it's like one of those. Because the mirror's got it distorts it. It doesn't refract all the colors and everything. The subtleties. All the subtleties. I don't know. John Schilling of West Dallas says, I got nothing. Where's John? Thanks, man. No, I really appreciate that. If you got nothing, say that. Too many people come up with something, and really, they've got nothing. Thanks, John. Kathy Robel of McFarland says, Jeff sure is cute. And Jeff sure is married, and Jeff sure has three children. Kathy Robel, where are you? Okay, all right, so he's cute, right? But, you know, with an asterisk. Big one. Okay, wait a second. There's more to this, obviously, that we need to get. Can you see him behind the flamingo there? Yeah.
Very cute. Very cute, but my husband wrote this because I can't write. So when he showed it to me, I'm like, are you kidding me? But yes, he is very cute.
Well, you must have indicated something to that extent.
Well, definitely.
Your husband is adorable himself. So
yeah. Oh.
And look here. Look how adorable her own husband is. What does she need even to think about it? Yeah. Why does she need that? Okay. Thanks, dear.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. And on behalf of Jeff, thank you. We used to get them. Remember, John? We used to get those cards.
Yeah.
More than 20 years ago, I think it was, actually. If I'm listening to you, Michael, why am I not working on my house? Bob Siebel, Lowell, Wisconsin. Where's Bob? All right. I'll come see you. All right. If you stood up and walked a few paces over, then I could meet you before the show ends, I think. It takes a lot of work. So you're working on what are you doing on your house?
The question is the story that I started listening to when I built my house, started building it in 96, and so it's a two-story Cape Cod. I'm going to finish the top. That seems easy, right? Yeah. So I spent.
You got one story so far, yeah. Since 96, or what?
No, it's all done now. But I would spend every weekend working on something, cutting something, trying to wire something, listening to your show. Yeah. So it seems odd now that I see you.
I'm working on Saturday mornings, though. That's what held things up.
That might know why it took so long. I don't know.
I know some guys say they had to go up to their attic and pretend to be insulating to listen to the show because their wife hates me. You know, I've heard that more than once. So there's that. Maybe it was that sort of thing.
Well, my wife at the time, I'm no longer married. She didn't hate you, but she didn't get it, so.
She didn't care for me. She didn't. Exactly. Hatred is a strong thing. And she's no longer with you, so we can say anything we want about
it. Exactly. I doubt she's listening. Yeah.
House is done. Looks good.
It's done. It looks very nice. You want to buy it?
You're going to work since 96 on a house, and you're going to flip it? What's the matter with you?
Well, it's not exactly flipping at this point, is it?
And where is this house?
Lowell. It's in Dodge County.
Sounds nice. You're not really going to sell it now, right?
Well, I would like to sell it.
What are you going to do, start another one?
I don't know about
you
that.
Got enough time, really, to start another house?
As long as you're on the radio, I guess I do.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Pleasure. Okay. You're a good man, that, Bob. And I bet it's a beautiful house. Did you ever build your own house or anything like that?
No.
Are you good around the house?
Yeah, I'm around the house, but I don't build it. I buy it.
You're around the house, but you don't build it.
Yes.
Okay. Are you handy at all? Can you make?
Yeah, I can put a nail in the wall.
On the wall. Okay, that's the extent. Any particular nail? I mean, do you?
No, just any nail.
Any nail. Well, that's good. That's a start. And you are, your name is?
Edmund.
Nice to meet you. Where are you from?
Baghdad, Iraq.
From Iraq?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. And how long are you visiting us here? Or are you?
I've been here for 22 years.
22 years is a long visit. But I can tell you're a good guest, so it's not so, you're not imposing at all.
I'm a hard-working, tax-paying guest.
Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Okay. And he can pound a nail, ladies and gentlemen. My dad taught me how to straighten nails. That's the only thing I learned from my dad. You know, Bill said, I was down in the basement one time, and he built these things that never fit, never worked, and never opened once, drawers that actually you couldn't pull out because there was no drawer behind it. But he showed me how to straighten nails, and I've been grateful ever since. Never have to buy another nail, thanks to my dad. How are we doing so far?
It's time.
It's time? Okay. I can't answer if I'm ready for the 50 Shades of Grey lead. I think we took one shade of gray at a time. I could probably do it. Let's see now. I gave this to someone. We have to know who can and cannot play the What Do You Know quiz before we do it. Oh, yes, it's up. It's up. It's the husband. What is your name? I can't keep calling you the husband.
I'm Craig. Craig Roble.
Craig, okay.
Alrighty. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should really get their own shows. I don't know about you, but I'm going in the same Popeye costume I wore in 1972. That was a little ad lib there. I hope that was okay. All right. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And finally, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
There you go. You can save that. A little souvenir. Thank you very much. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. Simply for being who you are. Wait a minute now. This guy dressed for the show. I always appreciate that. Yes, he wore his hat. Just stand up a second. Let's see if you qualify. You are?
Mark, Shropshire.
Okay, and I can't see. Monona Grove Eagles. Go Eagles. Monona Grove Eagles. Mark, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Give me one good reason, Mark, you should play this quiz.
I have a face for radio.
Welcome to the club. Come on down here. Oh, you're going over the top. Oh, he's paleolith. He's a paleolith. He's got no shoes on. Yeah. Come up here if you would. Have a seat there. Was that when you left this morning? Or
I did.
Okay. And are they there at the seat? Okay. Okay, yes, fine.
I was inspired by
I'm always sitting next to guys like you in places like this. Guys who take their shoes off and just leave them there. So, Mark, what do you do these days, Mark?
I'm a physical therapist.
Well, you are. Okay. Yeah. Where do you do that?
Happy PT month, Michael.
Oh, thank you very much. My wife is one, you know.
I understand that. That's great. You marry well.
Yeah, she can't work on me due to personal issues. But she's done wonders for other people. It's a really amazing thing, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm from Appleton.
Oh, from Appleton, you're up there in Appleton somewhere?
Yeah, right.
What's the place you work at?
I have my own clinic. It's called Motion Synergy Physical Therapy.
How cool.
Yeah.
So you hung your shingle.
I did.
Yeah. You've always been in this field?
Yep.
You segue into it? Where'd you get your learning from?
I'm a BU Terrier. I graduated from Boston University.
Oh,
so
no,
go Bo Sox.
Well, you pretty much lost the accent, except for when you say it.
I parked the car in the ramp.
Is that where you're from originally out there?
No, Monona is home. And they're actually celebrating their 75th anniversary this evening at the community center, if you want to stop by. And
a whole 75 years in one evening. That's going to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Gonna be, is it festivities?
It is. It's kind of a black tie dress-up. Smarmy event. So,
Do you have that? Where do you have to rent that?
I'm going to talk to my advisor on whether we go with the cummerbund and the bow tie.
Do you have it at home?
I want Sarah's outfit. Is what I want.
I'm not sure my shoes would fit you.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to try them.
Come to Wonder Woman and see what that does for your prestige in the neighborhood. All right, so someone out there plays along with you, Mark, and how does that work, Wonder Woman?
People who want to play the quiz pick up the phone and dial 1-800.
Stop scratching your wig.
It's really itchy.
I know, but it doesn't look good when you do that.
1-800-942-5669. And you ask them a qualifying question.
What? Oh, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. What?
1-800.
Qualifying question.
Yes,
okay.
You got it.
Qualifying question.
Uh-huh.
There's now a robot fish. I don't want to know what species. The first actual they made a robot fish, but it actually resembles one species. And I want to know the first true robot fish is what type of fish? What species of fish? have they emulated now in robotic form? If you know, give us a call. There's various types of fish, so we should, well, you should hit this. Could be a bottom feeder, is what I'm saying. Let's go to the phones right now. Mark's on the line from Rochester, New York. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, they have like Freak Fest out in Rochester?
We have a Fringe Fest. We did that last month for about 10 days.
Yeah, but I mean like a Halloween sort of crazy time.
Oh, yeah, people do that all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going as something?
I'm not really into Halloween.
No, you're not.
I don't know. It's just not my favorite holiday at all.
But it's for adults now.
I know. I think that's the problem.
Yeah,
I'm
with
you. I don't think it needs to be or should be.
The first true robotic fish is what type? Possible
well, that's
bottom
what the feeder. Question was. I couldn't hear it because I was talking to Lyle. First robotic fish.
Robotic fish.
I'll go with a minnow.
Well, a cute little robotic fish. No, because other robotic fish would probably eat it at that point. So, no, I'm sorry, Mark.
Okay.
Stupid question, but what can you do sometimes? Thanks, though.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Mike's on the line from Radford, Virginia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Good, like always, working with you, listening to you, like that man building the house.
Yeah, what are you building?
I'm just cleaning up the yard. I've mowed more grass with you than anybody else.
Yeah, and I bet you smoked a little too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's all right. I don't want to.
I still use a Walkman to listen to you.
Really? Well, you're a diehard. Yeah. I love that. That's wonderful. Those are worth money, by the way. You can't even find them on eBay anymore, those Walkmen.
I know. The last one I bought was at a yard sale.
Yeah. Mike, first true robotic fish. I don't know if the military... Yes.
How about a catfish?
Ooh, that would be a cool idea, because then they can have the, you know, little whiskers, electronic whiskers and stuff on it. But I'm afraid it's not. It's more of a bottom feeder.
Well, catfish are bottom feeders.
I know, but it's more of a different bottom feeder.
Don't get technical on me here.
That's as far as I go on technical. So sorry, though. Okay. Bye, then. Let's see. Joel's in Charleston, West Virginia. Aren't you, Joel?
I am. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Pretty good. The last caller stole my guess.
Oh, yeah? Well, there are other bottom feeders, you know.
That's true. I wish I was an ichthyologist.
Or a fish person would be good, too.
If that's the term.
I don't
about
know.
A...
Yeah.
How about a carp?
A carp is exactly right, Joel. You could be an ichthyologist with guesses like that.
Fantastic.
Excellent. So what's new out there in Charleston? What are you doing out there? Are you going to school? Are you working? Are you?
Oh, just visiting for the weekend. I live a couple hours north up in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Are you visiting family?
Yeah, I am. I am.
Yeah. I got a little get-together here. What do you got planned for the get-together?
So far, absolutely nothing, and that's probably a good way to start a Saturday.
Yeah, that's how you know it's a family, if you're doing nothing together.
Yes.
That's a wonderful thing. Joel, this is Mark.
Hi, Joel.
Hi, Mark.
Okay. Guys bonding. I love it. Do you guys work together? You are a team. We have various categories, don't we, Wonder Woman?
They are. Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
What? Okay, yes, Joel, what would you like?
Let's try science.
Science it is. All right. Do marmosets know polite conversation or don't they? Marmosets, do they know polite conversation or do they not? The monkeys.
What do you think, Joel? Monkeys, pretty polite?
I was hoping you might start with an initial answer, Mark, and then we can narrow that down.
Work from there, yeah.
Sounds reasonable to me, Joel.
They do. Oh. Okay, they do. That's right. Congratulations. Yeah, they love exchanging pleasantries. Marmosets, they're known for it.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Remaining is what?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Mark?
Things I should have learned in school.
School. Which of the following is not in the New York Times style book? Tweet, twerk, or patooey?
Twerk. Joel, what do you think?
When was this style guide published.
So this is the latest style guide. Latest style guide.
It's
very
not a
latest.
Section of the newspaper. Okay.
No, style book. You know, the Times writing style book. Tweet, twerk, or patooey. Not in the style book.
Mark, what do you think the definition of patooey would be?
It's a cartoon spit.
It sounds like a spittoon.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. A spittoon, yeah. Cartoon spit. Spittoon, I guess.
I'm gonna withdraw my first answer and collude with you. Spittoon in New York Times. That sounds a little contradictory. Joel, I might need your help on that.
I think tweet is probably in there. I think we could narrow that one down. I guess it's between twerk and patooey.
This is taking much too much consideration and thought power.
I'm thinking twerk might not be in that guide.
That was my first impression.
Okay.
Patooey.
I can't remember if I've read Patooey in the New York Times at all. Perhaps one of the columnists might have used it.
I'm actually leaning towards patooey.
Leaning towards
that
patooey.
That seems like an outdated term.
You want to lean away from a patooey, I think.
Should we go with that one, Joel?
Patooey?
Let's do that.
Okay, patooey, yeah. Boy, that took a lot of twerk. And
that's two right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
Current events, people, places, or odds and ends. I'd just like to point out that twerk then is in the style guide.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of wished it wasn't.
That's implied that.
I said what I said.
Right. I'd have to read the style guide to know for sure.
I'm appalled.
Okay. Joe, what would you like?
Places.
Which of the following is not specifically prohibited as a Halloween costume at the University of Colorado Boulder? Is it dressing as white trash, Indian, or yeshiva boy? Not specifically frowned on or banned from Colorado Halloween costumes. White trash, Indian, or yeshiva boy?
You know, Joel, the Indian mascots have been in the news lately, and I heard Washington's changing their football team nickname to the Red States. I'd like to see if that's correct. My first thought was Indians.
Not prohibited. We're saying not prohibited. So you're saying the Indian costume is actually encouraged at the University of Colorado?
I'm not so sure.
He made a patooey.
I'm thinking yeshiva boy is something I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Although that sounds like it might be offensive.
That's a boy who goes to yeshiva or a school, you know, a religious school.
Ah, school.
Right. Religious school boy.
Colorado, or their mascot is the Buffaloes. I don't know if that has anything to do
with
it.
You have a lot of peripheral information.
I'm trying to read you, Michael.
Now, I say, which of the following is not specifically prohibited as a Halloween costume at CU? Okay. So is it the white trash, the Indian, or yeshiva boy? Not specifically mentioned.
I'm thinking white trash is probably not even mentioned.
Yeah, I'll agree, Joel.
Let's go through this once again now. Which is not specifically? Which do they not say, you know, you shouldn't come as white trash because that's offensive, or an Indian, that's offensive. But yeshiva boy, do they even mention? For example.
Should they even have to say that?
Yeah,
though?
That's why I say not specifically prohibited.
Oh.
When they prohibited costumes. But you wonder why they would do it in the first place.
Well, I gotta say, we are very...
So you're saying Yeshiva boy?
We are, sadly...
I'll go along with that.
Yeshiva boy's right there. All right.
This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, Chef Daniel Bonanno. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's going with full-size Snickers this trick-or-treat, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yada-yada. Thank you. Well, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. That's right. That's an odd thing to applaud. And That's why we have thanks for the memos. And here are a couple memos. Now, here's, I guess it's time for Packer Attire Guidelines. This went out to all in the office. It's that time of year again, Packer season. We've had a number of inquiries as to whether the Packer Attire Guidelines will be allowed again this season. Packer Attire will be allowed again this season with the following common sense guidelines applying again this year. Packer Attire days will only apply to the regular season and hopefully postseason play. Packer Attire will be allowed only on the Friday before any weekend game and on the day of the game during any games played during the week. Like Monday night, we're supposed to work Monday night. Packer Attire allowed will only apply to shirts, smocks, ties, and scarves. Packer sweatshirts, t-shirts, jerseys, and other shirts without collars must have appropriate shirts with collars or turtlenecks worn underneath them. What about just painting your body? You know, a little green, a little gold. Packer pants, shorts, sweatpants, wind pants, hats, caps, cheese heads are not authorized under these guidelines. Any Packer attire must be clean, well-kept, and in good taste. That's subjective. Worn, dirty, or torn attire is not acceptable. Other football team attire will be allowed to be worn, but only on Packer attire days. This is a dangerous policy. If an employee's favorite team is other than the Packers, the employee may only wear his or her chosen team's attire under the same guidelines and only on the days that Packer attire may be worn. They are asking for trouble. I question number six. A guy shows up in a Viking thing, you know, with horns, asking for trouble around the office. All other clinic guidelines, policies regarding appropriate dress and appearance remain... Oh, this is a clinic. This would be exciting. I'm walking to a clinic with these. Appearance remain applicable. That is, moderate hairstyle, jewelry, etc. Employees must use their good judgment with respect to the Packer attire policy. If there are abuses of the guidelines, managers and employees should attempt to resolve the issues as such problems could lead to the elimination of the privilege for all of us. The clinic retains the final say. It's nice when you graduate school and go to work, isn't it? You find you're still back in school. The clinic retains the final say as to what is or what is not acceptable. Naturally. Managers are responsible for compliance with these guidelines. Managers may choose to be more restrictive in their particular department. However, they may not be less restrictive. I like that one. These guidelines are not intended to cover all scenarios. Well, it's hard to cover all scenarios with one directive. Managers will have to use their discretion when addressing issues that arise. If the guidelines are not applied consistently, this fun privilege may be eliminated for all. Go Pack. Thank you for that memo. Holy cow. Oh, come on. This is a Packer attire memo. We've all gotten them. All right. So definitely want to go in for your clinic appointment and have people dressed like, you know, Packers or Packer fans, even worse. So, how are you? Pretty nice outfit you got
yeah,
on there.
Thanks.
Very nice. Thanks. You think about being a brunette?
I have thought about being a brunette.
And wearing, you know,
a coronet. And it,
is that a coronet?
I don't know. What is it? No, coronet's a musical instrument. What is this thing called?
It's a thing on your head there.
It's like an upside-down tiara.
Is that part of her powers? Wonder Woman, I don't really know.
Oh, yeah. I think so. And yeah. Turning around really quickly to get change. But they all have that superpower, right? No.
Turning around quickly to get change?
Yeah, doesn't she spin around? She spins around and she changes into her
super
attire.
Oh, to get change into her outfit. Yeah. Is that how you put that on?
Yeah. Yeah, I just twirl around fast enough.
Very
that
nice.
Happens.
Very nice indeed. Let's do this every year, shall we?
It's a great idea.
Let's do
idea.
It on other holidays.
Okay, perfect.
You don't even have to get other outfits. I just like this.
Okay, good. I might need a wig that's a little less warm. But
yeah, if you scratching the wig is
a
bit.
And the headphones don't quite fit over it either.
No, it looks good though. So where can they send any sort of communications, memos or questions or inquiries or comments or complaints?
They can send those to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Now, what about if they're on the Twitters?
If they're on the Twitters, they can follow you at My Feldman, or they could direct message you at My Feldman.
At My Feldman?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah, and they could send you their memos line by line if they wanted to.
Yeah, or they could just chat.
Though you might not pay attention.
No. Mm-hmm. It's called following for a reason. You know? Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Because you're a leader.
Yeah. A pig in a fur coat. Yeah. Sounds like an old joke or something like that, but it's actually one of the best restaurants around now. A new restaurant in Madison, relatively new, and it's sweeping the city. They're talking about all the way in McFarland now. No, it's really great, and we have actually the man behind it all, Daniel Bonanno. Pig in a fur coat. The chef is here, and he brought a few of his specialities. Daniel Bonanno, chef of A Pig in a Fur Coat. There you are. I didn't know where you were. A dramatic entrance, chef. Have a seat, would you? Chat you a little bit about. You're from Kenosha, then, eh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I lived down there a number of years, you know.
I apologize.
You didn't know. Oh, that's okay. Where'd you go to school down there?
Mary D. Bradford.
Bradford?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I taught at Tremper.
Oh, that's a horrible school.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, their football team really not that great. So.
No. What about Griffith? Griffin?
Yeah.
Is he from down there? Is he from Bradford or is he from Tremper?
I believe Bradford.
Yeah.
I believe.
I got to check this out. I've been wanting to know because he's a great, great runner. And I figured.
Yeah, my father runs a store in Kenosha called Tenuta's.
Tenuta's? So,
yes.
Your dad is Tenuta's?
Yes.
Let me shake your hand all over again.
All right, yes.
Wow, Tenuta's is famous in Kenosha and elsewhere. Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's where I grew up. My dad didn't believe in child labor laws, so I was there for, I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
So working.
Tenuta's is a place to get anything Italian.
Yes.
All foodstuffs, Italian, and good quality. Can you get canolas, too, at Tenuta's?
Cannolis?
Cannolis, yeah.
Yes, you can, yeah.
Canola is an oil, and cannolis
You can get canola oil, too, if
something
you want
to. Something you eat in Italy. Yeah. And it seemed, we used to go there all the time. That's quite amazing. And so is that where you got your love for food, is through working at Tenuta's?
I want to say yes.
Why don't you say that then?
both my parents were born in Italy, so we never went out. We always cooked, and we always had a great family. They're a very loud Italian family, and it was always fun to hang out. So I always loved cooking. It's always brought happiness to the family, and
Are we Northern Italian or are we Southern Italian?
I'm from Kenosha, so we're Southern Italian.
Southern Wisconsin Italian.
Yeah, Northern Italians went to Argentina, so it's kind of...
That does affect cooking style, doesn't it?
It does. It's totally, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has it affected your cooking style? Yours is sort of eclectic. And
Mine's eclectic. I lived in Italy for a year. I went to school there.
Yeah. And Northern Italy or Southern?
Florence. So Florence. Central.
Oh, it's supposed to be beautiful
and,
in Florence.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. I loved it so much they kicked me out, so it's kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
It was... but I traveled a lot, and I studied.
Kazakhstan. I know you were in Kazakhstan studying.
Oh, no,
there.
That was my business partner was there. She visited her sister.
Oh.
And that's how the whole name came about of A Pig in a Fur Coat.
Because they serve that in Kazakhstan?
They serve a fish in a fur coat, a dish.
Sounds
there.
Much better than a pig in a fur coat.
Exactly. We're going to take it, but I figured we were going to get in trouble, no copyright, so we went to A Pig in a Fur Coat.
Yeah. Have you tried a fish in a fur coat?
I have not, but I've seen pictures, and it's not too pretty.
No. So. Your cooking style is sort of unique. That you've developed, right? Is there a certain style to it, or what would you call your style?
A style. I just try. Very European style, I think I want to say. It's a mixture between French, Spanish, and Italian. Mm-hmm. And I just
do they all get along?
Not during the World Cup, but they do. I focus on local farms and local everything. Really, 95% of the menu is local. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do in Italy and France and Spain. They never go outside the country to bring it in. So I really thrive on that. And that's my style.
Yeah. Hey, Dan. For example, what some of the things on your menu?
We have tripe.
Tripe.
Pork tripe. It's a kind of a
never
cassoulet.
Had it. I'm not sure
it's
why.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Pork tripe is delicious. With
tripe, which part of the pig is
it's the
tripe?
Stomach. The stomach of the pig, yep. It's stewed down. It's like a cassoulet. It's fantastic. It's my favorite dish.
Really? What do you do with the stomach?
Fill
it with something?
No, we braise it really for a long time in tomatoes and fat, and we break it down. And it's almost a gelatinous texture to it. And we also mix it with beans, kale, pork belly.
Yeah.
And so it's all cooked down in a nice dish.
Is it stewish at that point?
Or? Yes, stewish, yeah.
Yeah.
And then also we have like stuff like porchetta.
So it's not Jewish, I know that, but
no,
it could be stewish.
No, definitely not. Yeah. No, then we have a porchetta, which is a street cart food in Florence. Mm-hmm. And I kind of refined it and made it more for a finer dining experience. So that's a pork shoulder stuffed with a sausage, and slow roast it for about 8 hours in the oven.
Wow.
And it's, you don't need a fork. You don't need a knife with it. You just cut it with a fork, and it's tender.
Or a plate or anything.
Probably. Or anything, really, yeah.
Just shove it in your face.
No, then we do with some traditional things like bolognese is on the menu. We have ravioli filled with the duck egg.
Mm-hmm.
What I brought with me today is rabbit rillette.
Which is the rabbit here?
It's one with the knife in it. It's a local raised rabbit with with pickled Door County cherries on top.
Rabbit with Door County cherries.
Yeah.
I have this all the time. Actually,
oh, yeah. No,
what do you do with this?
Now,
you
put I spread it on some bread, which is in that little box.
Oh. Nice of you, really.
No, thank you, thank you.
Wonder Woman, you should feel free to grab
some.
Please.
Yes.
You know,
Boys in the band.
So what we do is just cure the rabbit overnight in salt cure,
uh-huh.
and then we braise it in duck fat for about 5 hours.
You don't put calories on the menu, do
No,
you?
No, not at all. No, it's a very low fat. So it's the.
Oh, it's delicious.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, it's.
I'm not a rabbit eater generally. I mean, eat quickly, but
it's a very calabrese Southern Italian meat rabbit. You know, they don't have a lot of large animals in Italy because of the they have less land. Was it spicy?
I'm Slow sorry. Down,
no. No, I just tend to choke when I eat
sausage.
It's delicious.
Thank you.
Oh, man. It's, I think I just hit the duck fat.
This is going to be the final show, or what's going
on? No, it was very good.
So how do you make the rillette again? That's something I want to learn how to do this fall.
So rillette is a...
Yeah, it's good, though.
Thank you. Thank you. Rillette is like a pate, but rustic. Not refined. It's not smooth, so you have the more of a chunks in there. It's basically what it came from. It's a French dish. And they'll use, like, neck bones or leftover bones, and they'll scrape the meat and add fat to it and slow cook it and then spread it on toast.
It's like meat paste.
Exactly.
Delicious.
It is really very
so
good.
So what we do is take the whole rabbit.
That's just meat. That's not the food.
We just cover the whole rabbit in fat.
Oh, my God.
And just roast it until it just falls off the bone. And then we pick all the bones out of it, and then we just blend it really fast.
And this is a local rabbit?
Yes.
Oh,
those in my backyard the other day.
It's okay. Madison's overrun with them anyhow.
What is this here?
These are chorizo stuffed dates with a piquillo pepper sauce. So,
okay, can you explain that all to me? No,
so sure. Dates are a fruit, a stone fruit.
Oh, I know what dates are.
Oh, okay. And then a chorizo, it's a Spanish-style chorizo that we make in the restaurant. And we stuff it inside the dates, and we warm it in our wood-burning oven.
Is your chorizo like goat? Goat, chorizo?
No, it's a pork chorizo.
Pork, okay.
Yeah. So, and then we just, we use piquillo peppers, which is a type of Spanish pepper. And we just braise it, cook it really slowly in the oven, and we serve it like that.
Mm. Sensuous.
Yeah. It's a snack. We serve it as a snack in our restaurant, so it's just...
Would this be a small plate then?
Yeah, it'll be, no, it should be a snack. Small plates would be the lamb carpaccio. So the other dish. I brought three dishes for you, so that's really...
I can choke on all three.
Exactly.
I have a little cold, actually, so that's what's climbing me up here. This is beautiful.
So this right here is a lamb carpaccio, local lamb, sliced very thin.
Slide down if I turn it too much.
This is a very northern Italian dish, shaved very thin, and then I serve it with... it's going to fall off pretty soon. with salsa verde, which is a herb salsa. And I have a shaving of Parmesan cheese from Capri Farms here in Wisconsin, and a locally grown pea shoots, and a fresh farm egg yolk on top of it to give it a nice fatty, rich flavor to it. So yeah, just mix it all up and just put it on toast, and you're good.
Do you have any toast?
Yeah.
Yeah, bread.
So it's
Go ahead. Keep talking.
I'm enjoying you.
This is why you can't take me out to eat because I don't have any of this.
I enjoy watching people eat. It's
And like in your restaurant, isn't there like one long table and you got to?
We have a couple communal tables in our restaurant. Our space is very small. We only have 40 seats, and the best way to utilize the space is to use communal tables. At first, people were really scared by it, sitting by other people that they didn't know.
Yeah.
But after a couple of drinks, they become best friends, so it's great. That's good. That's a good way to know each other, get to know your neighbors. You know, the day of Facebook and Twitter, everyone's scared of each other. So now we kind of force them to sit next to each other.
This is amazing.
Thank you.
Does your menu change a lot through the years?
We've only been open for a year and a half, and yes, it has. It's been whenever I get bored.
This is so good. I'm just going to eat this, and you can carry on.
So,
what am I eating here again? Tell me.
This is a lamb carpaccio.
Lamb.
Where do you get local dates?
Oh, that's a tough part. That's from California. So I said 95%. That's one of them. The fish is from local, though. It's from Lake Minota.
Is that safe?
No, that was a joke.
But wait a minute, what fish was from Lake Minota?
I didn't bring any fish with me.
Oh, good, okay.
It was too cold to go ice fishing today.
Absolutely amazing. Now, are these like old world recipes that you take and sort of modernize, or is this something?
Yeah.
Are these inventions of yours?
The lamb the carpaccio itself, it's a very old recipe done for the king, because he's the king of Italy, some weird guy. He didn't like thick pieces of meat, so the chef did it really thin.
Oh, is that right?
That's one of the stories. Italy's full of stories. I mean, depends who you talk to. They give you a different story. So,
do you speak Italian? By
A little bit. I speak more Calabrese, which only 5% of people speak it in Italy.
Yeah.
It's old. I call it hillbilly.
So you find the right guy, you can talk to him.
Really. Yeah, exactly. But then that's usually not a nice guy to talk to.
Yeah. Were you able to sit in with chefs there?
Yeah, I worked at a couple of restaurants when I was in Italy. I walked up to a lot of restaurants and I said, I like to apply for a job and I'll work for free. And people usually say yes to that.
Really?
And at first, you know, they're very hesitant and they let me just cut onions or clean cheese. And after a while, I was making pasta and working the line right next to them. And it was great. And then they started paying me then.
Yeah. Was the family very supportive of your efforts?
Yes.
Were they a little shocked? Or?
They were their hopes were they wanted me to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And now thinking back, I should have been a doctor. but no, they were very supportive, very happy. And actually, when I went to Italy, it was the first time my dad went back since he moved to the United States. So it was kind of great. So he came out and we hung out in his hometown together.
Which is what?
Cosenza. Mm-hmm. So.
Is that in the north or the south?
That's in the south. Yeah. I wish they were from the north. It would be a lot better. But.
The cooking. It's absolutely unbelievably delicious.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's great. It's great to meet you. And we should tell everyone about A Pig in a Fur Coat. It's on Willie Street, Williamson Street here in Madison. Daniel Bonanno, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Michael. Great.
Great to have you here. I'm sorry about the choking fit. It was unrelated to the food. Which was
please
delicious.
Enjoy.
That's just me. Okay. Pig in a Fur Coat, Daniel Bonanno, ladies and gentlemen. If you can get to it, you can sample some of these. Actually, I could use a little more water. Thank you so much. The service I get around here is really remarkable. Yeah, no, I've been having a little throat problems recently. Just cold. This is amazingly good. Yes, you can strike that if you want, or take it with you. Leave me this one here. I'll finish that. that's very good. Okay, did you want to try some, John? You can.
No, I'm okay. I can smell it over here. It smells really good.
It smells delicious. It's amazing. Yeah. It's unlike anything I've ever had.
I've been to Nudo's when we did the show down there. I stopped in there and bought some beer, actually.
Yeah, they have the very best beer.
They got all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah. It's a deli and all kinds of stuff.
It's an institution in Kenosha.
Yeah.
Tenuta's, and then they have some great Italian bakeries.
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah.
They're amazing. So, great place to eat. And so what you got here for us?
This is a little blues that I wrote called The Last One. Thank you.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Hello again. How are you? Pretty good, then? It's been a while. Been out here. As a radio personality, how often do you get recognized while traveling? Once in a parking ramp in Charleston, West Virginia.
In Alaska?
98, 99, around there.
Remember that construction road worker in Alaska?
In Alaska. Yeah. Someone was standing on the road. She was a worker there on the road. And
Aren't you Michael Feldman?
Yeah. What are the odds on that?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Just those two times. Once in West Virginia, once in Alaska. But still, that's pretty good. And here's another question along those lines. Is life as a radio show host just like being a rock star? It's very much, except middle-aged men throw their undies at you. Middle-aged men who still live at home with their mothers. Because that's our core audience, basically. Barry Moses, are you the Moses of this card here? Okay, would you mind to stand up here, Barry, representing the Moseses of Shaker Heights? How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. And what field are you in?
I'm an in-house counsel for an insurance company.
Ooh. How's that working out for you? Pretty good?
Yeah, it's doing it, paying the bills.
Is that what you wanted to be when you were a kid? When I grew up, I wanted to be an in-house counselor for an insurance company or a ball player.
I would rather have been a ball player.
What sport?
Baseball, actually.
Baseball? Yeah. A little shortstop? Or?
I would have figured myself to be a pitcher.
A pitcher? Yeah. So you still got what do you got there? Fastball? Or?
I got bursitis, actually.
Oh, you got the bursitis now. Yeah? From practicing too much or what?
Playing a lot when I was younger.
What was your pitch, though?
Fastball.
Yeah, it was fastball. Okay. And no changeup?
No.
See, that's why you're in insurance. That's why you're a counselor, in-house insurance, whatever that is you call that.
In-house attorney, right?
Yeah, in-house attorney for insurance. And where does that go on? In Shaker Heights?
In Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, downtown Cleveland.
And this is the Moses family?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
My daughter Sarah is in school here.
Hello?
Hi.
You're
I'm a junior here at UW.
In your name, I mean.
Oh, I'm Sarah.
And what are you studying?
Elementary and special education.
Have you thought about in-house attorney for insurance? It's a growing field.
I have not thought about that.
And you're?
I'm Karen.
Hi.
Hi. I'm an attorney.
You're an attorney as well. When attorneys marry, is it litigious?
Ours was very smooth, actually.
Yeah. You're not a prosecuting attorney or anything.
No.
And you're not either?
No. We met at the Ohio Attorney General's office. Yep.
What a romantic beginning. Well, why don't you stand up here so I see that they actually... And then, okay. Hi. Okay.
Hi.
Yeah. How did that happen to work out?
We were friends, and then we were more than friends. And
right there in the Attorney General's office?
Right there in the office.
Does that violate any sort of ethics for the profession?
Because we were not working together at the time. So okay. No violation there.
No violation there, but since then, there's been many violations.
Three children, many violations.
At least one.
A violation.
At least one.
Okay, well, that's very good then. And then, here. And I got Sarah's card here. You might as well stand up too, Sarah, because the other one is not standing. And the entire Moses family here, you know. Sarah Moses, ladies and gentlemen. Brother. You should read your card.
Am I the only U of M? It's UW.
Oh,
mom. My mom wrote this. Am I the only UW Madison student who got up at 8 a.m. to attend the show with their parents?
But you didn't write that even. Okay, well, and that's undoubtedly true. The Moses family. The Moses family came to the mountain here, ladies and gentlemen. Very happy to have them. Very nice. Yes. Now she's mad that you wrote that. I bet. You have to deal with that on the trip home. Yeah. Oh, okay. Kurt Wallace from San Francisco is here. He's a bicycle consultant. That's like an in-house whatever for an insurance. What is a bicycle consultant, Kurt Wallace? Way down there? Okay, I'll get there. Yeah. Okay, I'll make the trek since you're a bicycle consultant. All right. Oh, you meet me halfway. I love it. How many miles do you bike typically, let's say, in a week?
Not too many, maybe 100.
Not too many, maybe 100.
Yeah.
Did I hear that right? Is this working? Okay.
Only 100, yes.
But as a bicycle consultant, do you consult people who are riding bicycles? Or?
We actually help large corporations make bicycles part of their landscape.
Oh, like Google and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Did you do Google?
Google is not a client, but other fancy places.
You wouldn't mind, though, probably, if Google were a client.
I wouldn't. They're right down the street from Apple and Facebook, and they are. So.
Oh, geez, wow. I should get to know you. Do you have a card or something like that? Is that a growing trend now, a corporate thing? Or?
I think 3 years ago when we started it, it was not a thing, and now it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it, some places are probably not set up for bicycle traffic, though.
Talking
about in-house, right, riding your bikes around from office to office?
Not necessarily in the house, but, yeah, moving between offices. Yeah, well, if you think of any place that has a large campus, like a university or a big company, yeah.
Is that why you're here now? Are you trying to get the UW business?
Yeah, not directly, but we're here meeting with Trek and other companies and talking about how we could do this at more companies. Yeah.
Well, that's really fantastic. How'd you get into this whole thing, Kurt?
We literally, my partner and I, were sitting and saying, well, how could we get more people on bikes? And this was the way we thought we could help.
Yeah. What was the first one? Was Apple like one of your first clients?
Actually, Apple was our very first client, yeah.
What was your pitch? So let's say you got an idea like this, and you go into Apple, and what was your pitch?
Well, Apple had said, we should do more with bikes, and we happened to meet in the middle. Yeah, it was magical.
Well, that was fortuitous.
It was indeed, yes.
Yeah. Microsoft didn't say any such thing, huh? So you never did that.
Well, Microsoft will have to follow Apple, because that's what they do, yeah.
Very nice to meet you, Kurt. That's okay. You let him go on that one. That's really cool. Kurt Wallace, bicycle consultant. This fall on Fox, Kurt Wallace, bicycle consultant. Let's see now. Oh, we have like a Methodist hospital reunion or something going on? Oh, is that what you're all sitting together. Isn't that cute? Well, is it fun so far? I mean, you having a lot of fun?
I am.
What have you been doing on this? It's a reunion of what now?
Well, it's a reunion of nurses. We graduated together in 1963.
63? Years ago. Okay. And you all graduated at, from where?
Methodist Hospital School of Nursing.
Methodist Hospital School of Nursing.
In Madison.
Does such a thing still exist?
It does not. No, it does not.
Where do we get our nurses now?
We don't know.
They just turn up on the street or what?
Yeah, wherever you can.
This pretty much the graduating class, most of the folks?
Except for me. I'm not a nurse. I'm a husband of a nurse.
Okay. You married into nursing?
Yeah.
Good thing.
Yeah.
A lot of benefits to that, I would think, now. And then, so, do you have these reunions periodically or yearly? Or?
No, not often enough. Maybe every 5 years.
Yeah. And what do you do? Is it like just a crazy time? Is it like a bacchanal? Or?
We reminisce a lot and go out to eat. Pretty cool.
Just eating, any drinking, or
oh, sure, yeah.
Some carousing.
Yes.
But you do have nurses here. You can get pretty crazy. You don't be covered.
Yes, it's fun. Yeah.
So is it a multi-day thing, or are you?
We came yesterday. Yeah. We'll stay till tomorrow morning.
Well, that's multi-day. That's like 2.5 days right there.
Yes, and so this was our highlight today.
Really? Okay. There you go. Highlight, she said. She said highlight.
Oh, yes. I better not dispute that.
No,
it really is. It's but a lot of highlights are just all of our, like they said, eating, drinking, and talking. Yeah. You know, so that's what we're all about at this point. Most of us are retired, yeah. So.
Do they have a...
Kick back and do what we want to do.
The School of Nursing, do they have any, like, sports teams or anything like that? Did you?
Oh, sure. There were 36 of us started together, and 12 of us or so are here together now.
Yeah. And did we all stay in nursing all these years, or did we...
No, some went on other directions.
Yeah, what directions did we go on?
I became a meeting and travel manager, just by happenstance, not because I didn't like nursing, I loved it, but was between jobs and was offered a position and took it and loved it.
Was it a good education at Methodist School of Nursing?
It was an excellent education. Yeah. We think better than the nurses get now. Yeah. Because we actually worked in the hospital as nursing students.
Oh, I mean, as students you worked?
Yes, we did.
Have you been in nursing since then?
Yes, I retired in the year 2000.
Your experience as well?
Yes, right. Yeah. I retired in 2006, and I have two daughters that are nurses. One is a nurse practitioner.
Oh. So there's a gene for it, in other words.
It must be, yeah. She's going for her Ph. in nurse practitioning, even so, yeah.
Yeah, no, my brothers are I have two brothers who are doctors and stuff, and they said they wouldn't go into it again just because of the way it's changed so much over the years and stuff, but nursing, you don't feel that way.
Well, we have our times. there were a few years when I did not encourage my daughters to become nurses, but then things improved. And
I think what he was saying is you're more working for the insurance companies now than you are working for patients. It's in-house insurance people and legal.
Right, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, very rewarding nonetheless.
Oh, yes, I think so.
Would you agree with anything that's been said here?
Absolutely, I'd agree with everything they said. I have no idea.
You're not part of the group?
No, I'm not retired yet.
Okay. Are you with this group then?
No, we're not. We're just on the air.
Have you thought about a career in nursing?
I have thought about that, but no way.
Now, what are you doing right now?
I sell chemicals, industrial chemicals. I can't.
That's a start. That's a start to nursing, isn't it? Industrial chemicals. Okay. Well, and thank you for being here. Thank you for making this part of your career. We got. Why don't we? You know what? Yes. What? Oh, you have a gift for me.
I do.
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, yes.
A Foley catheter.
A catheter? Is that what
you're... This is a brick from the Methodist Hospital that no longer exists. And when they were taking it down, I went over and got this brick because I knew that someday I would like to give it to you.
Throw it at someone.
Oh, no, I thought I would give it to you as a memento of the non-existent Methodist Hospital.
A Methodist Hospital brick, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to put it right in our show display here of significant objects on stage.
Objects, yes.
Thank you, Methodist Hospital nurses. Class of 63. And I got the brick to prove it. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because, you know, that's what we do here as a quiz show. We're required by law actually to have quizzes. I never thought I'd have something like this. I'll put it right here for now. Don't let me forget it, though. And a nice brick it is, too. From the original Methodist Nursing School. All right, let's see who wants to play the quiz this time around. You saw what happened the first time, and it could happen again this time. Yes, and I'm thinking you. Yes! I'm thinking you. I don't know why. There's just something about you. Get away from these speakers. Yes, you look very nice. And you are?
Jody.
Jody, you're from around here, Jody?
Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac. What brings you to town? You just...
A girls' weekend.
A girls' weekend?
Yep, yep.
Just the two of you? That's
no, there's actually about seven or eight of us, but I only got four of us.
Round up a couple here.
Yeah, okay. They all wanted to sleep in.
Okay. Big weekend last night, then, I guess.
Big night, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Stayed up late, you know.
Jody, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I want to.
One good reason. Well, that's good enough. Come on. I don't... Because she wants to. Audra, if you would, have a seat there next to the emu.
She needs I thought it was an ostrich.
No, it's an emu. Well, it's stuffed, whatever it is. Not really anything. But.
Is there a story to go with it?
No, I wish there was. And someday I'll make one up. But right now, there's just a stuffed emu.
Do I need to put those on? I saw that gentleman did that.
If you want to.
What's the point?
They just look kind of good. They're actual genuine.
Well, I look good?
Sennheiser.
All right. Then if I look good, I'll do it. Oh, you can hear.
You can look like a public radio person.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Take them with you if you like. I'm tired of
these. There's my other friend. My other girlfriend.
Hi. How you doing? So what, did we do some debauchery last night? What went on?
Yeah. Well, actually, we mostly just drove around in loops.
Did you go around the square a few hundred times?
Well, no, we got lost. You know, we had different cars, and some people went to the Ale Asylum, and others went to Capital Brewery, and then we decided we were supposed to meet, and then we were going to go to Middleton to a martini bar, and we found out that it wasn't a martini bar.
Oh, no.
It was billed as the best bar in Middleton, and
yeah,
it wasn't.
I mean,
maybe it was the best bar in Middleton, but it was definitely was not a martini bar.
Yeah. Yeah, I think your cord is maybe hanging up a little.
I want to look good, so.
I know. Here. Oh, that's fine. There, I just don't want it to interfere with anything. Okay, so you didn't find the martini bar, but you found various other bars.
Yeah, we ended up just going back to the hotel and breaking open a bottle of Merlot and.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just chit chatted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Girls giggling.
And is this celebrating? It's just a girls' weekend, or is this.
It's in memory. In memory of a. Of the husband of one of our friends has passed away this summer, and the father and husband, father, and we just wanted to get together. You know, we didn't want to plant a tree. We wanted to celebrate his life
really
and
nice.
Just being together.
Yeah, well, that's sweet. And does it go on from here? Or?
Well, actually, with this group of friends, we've been friends for 25 years, and we do this. You know, now as we get older, of course, it changes.
I mean, drinking tonight. Are you drinking tonight?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Yeah! Oh yeah! We were. In fact, we
are you going to find a martini bar somewhere?
We found out about something called the Blue Oyster, and then some ivory something.
Oh, the Ivory Room.
But I was afraid of that because of this big Fright Fest deal. I was a little concerned.
I would stay off campus.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Back to Middleton is what I'm thinking.
So we need a martini bar in Middleton. Yeah. One of our friends drinks martinis, and she didn't get to drink any last night.
Well, what do you recommend? Now you get out. Yeah.
Oh, there are a few options. You just have to stay off State Street. So you could go to Heritage Tavern. You could go to Four Quarter. I don't know about all of those guys can do classic martinis for you, and also fantastic invented cocktails.
Are you writing those down?
There's the right person to ask.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Wonder Woman there.
I might know the answers.
Wonder
to those
Martini
questions.
Woman.
Yeah. Excellent.
Sounds good. Okay, well, I hope you have a great time. Sounds fun. All right, and someone out there, you know how this quiz works?
Yeah.
When it does? It's general knowledge. And someone out there plays along with you. And how do they get on the quiz?
If people want to play the quiz, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. And answer this qualifying question.
All righty. Are you going to do the Halloween thing, too?
I have an idea for a costume.
Yeah, what's your idea?
I'm going to be a ceiling fan.
What a good idea.
Go ceilings.
Go ceilings.
I'm a ceiling fan.
Go pack.
Oh.
Get it?
Yeah.
I'm a ceiling fan.
That mean you're a fan of ceilings?
Correct.
Okay, that's going to leave some head scratching at Freak Fest. You got to do the blades. How you do the blades?
No blades. It's just a T-shirt that says, go ceilings. And I hold the pom-poms.
Okay, good idea. Here's the question for someone out there. You don't have to answer this one. It's a science question, actually. It rains diamonds on a planet, actually, in our solar system. Actually, rains diamonds. But then they fall in the methane, and they get all ruined. But. It rains them. It just doesn't. They don't land as diamonds. That's sort of like the first snow.
Catch them before they land.
Yeah, I guess so. That'll be a thing. It rains diamonds on one of the planets in our solar system. I want to know which one. Give us a call here. Oh, look! All the people are on the line already. Very excited. Mickey's in Madison. Hey, Mickey.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
I'm pretty good. How's yourself?
All right.
You're gonna get out to Freak Fest tonight. You know, starts.
You don't need a special Freak Fest. Town, it's every day.
Okay. Lived here a while, have you, Mickey?
Yeah.
How are things going otherwise?
Well, it could be better, you know.
Yeah.
Concentrate on my hobby right now.
What's your hobby?
Strangling lawyers.
Strangling lawyers. Okay. Mickey, rains diamonds in one of the planets in our solar system. You know which
Saturn.
One? Saturn is right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, okay. It's Jody, right?
Jody,
okay.
Hello, Jody. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
Do you have an occupation or a field of interest, Mickey?
A motivational speaker.
Are you working a lot at that, or just?
I'm between gigs because I haven't been very motivated.
Oh yeah, okay. I can see
that. That's a bummer.
Have you done this for any? Is there a particular field that you like to involve? I mean, were you trained in a particular field?
Do you know any motivational speakers ever been trained in anything?
Yeah, no, that's true. It's just they have a sense of motivation.
I guess so. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Okay.
I'm motivated to win this quiz with Jody.
Yeah, awesome.
All right. And she is not a lawyer, I may add.
Good for her.
Okay, so it should be all right here. Mickey and Jody, you work as a team here. We have various categories, and what might they be there?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
All right, Mickey, you first. What would you like?
How about people?
People, okay. You from around here originally, Mickey? Or?
No, actually, I grew up in Chicago.
In Chicago, really?
That's right.
Did you come here to hide from the mob?
No, Wisconsin, Chicago's farthest northern suburb.
Yeah, good point. Anyway, percentage of people who would or might consider buying a haunted house if it had possibilities and the price was right. 13%, 47%, or 62%, according to Realtor.com.
Repeat those again. Well, yeah. You know, I got stuck on the 13 thinking it was a joke. Would you repeat it?
Yeah. Percentage of people who would buy a haunted house if it was the right haunted house, in other words. 13%, 47%, or 62%, according to Realtor.com.
Mickey, I'm sticking with 13. It's just too ironic.
I'll go 13.
Well, according to Realtor.com, it's 62% of people say they would buy a haunted house.
You're joking.
I suppose it depends, you know, what happened in it to make it haunted.
Have they read the Amityville Horror?
Yeah, but it was a bad movie. Who believed that? You know? Okay, so I'm afraid that would be...
That would be zero right and Mickey. One wrong.
Okay.
I should have known that.
Yeah, you should have, but
okay.
You didn't.
Don't worry
We're
about
out
it.
Of luck.
Don't worry about it. What's left there?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Jody, what would you like?
I'm going to go with the school one, things
school.
I should have learned.
Okay. What's the space that should be between your eyebrows called? The glabella, the philtrum, or the spot between your eyebrows?
Well, Mickey, this might be your specialty.
Mickey is lightening up. I love it.
My eyebrows go together, so I don't know.
So you don't have one of these things, whatever it's called?
The philtrum is the space below your nose on your lip.
Okay.
I know that.
Okay.
Throw that out.
Throw that one off.
Okay.
I think it'd just be the space between your eyebrows.
It seems pretty obvious, but the 13 thing seemed pretty obvious too, didn't it?
Or the glabella.
The glabella.
The glabella.
That doesn't sound good either.
I don't think so.
No, you don't.
No.
Oh, spot between.
What do you think, Jody? It's your call.
Oh no, Mickey, it's yours because I made the last call and we got it.
And you're afraid to define.
I am. I am a little.
Oh, go to space between your eyebrows.
I think that's
no, I'm sorry. It's the glabella.
Oh, darn.
I mean, you could call it the space between your eyebrows, but technically it's the glabella. And that would be...
Find me a lawyer.
That, I'm sad to say, is zero right and two wrong.
Yeah, don't be too sad. They'll come back from this. Just got to get the next three right.
Yep.
And that's entirely possible.
Yep.
What remains there?
Current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
All right. Mickey?
Science.
This is
sure, why not?
Always easy. Science. Okay, when you say the coldest object in the universe, this nebula they found, the Boomerang Nebula, what do you mean? Are we talking 458 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, 597 degrees below or feels like 1,000 below. Because of the
wind. I didn't know this. You might know it, Mike. Maybe our first wives have met one another.
I enjoy you, Mickey. I know a lot of people probably have a little... They scratch their heads probably when they meet you for the first time or something, but I really I enjoy it quite a bit.
I got a call coming in, but I'll let it go for this.
Thank you, Mickey.
We've got to win this thing.
We do. So,
were you expecting a call? Is it important? Maybe you should take it.
It could be a job. You know, I might have to go give a motivational speech. I'm thinking 1,000. What do you think, Jody?
I agree.
458 degrees below zero. Which would be 1 degree Kelvin. That's pretty cold, let's face it.
Oh, now you're getting into Kelvin. Oh, yeah. I get it now. Yeah, I'll go with it. Yeah, that sounds pretty good, yeah.
Oh, you mean really?
1 degree Kelvin.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
458 below zero Fahrenheit. You want to go with that?
Okay.
Okay, yes, that's right. Oh. Congratulations. Okay. You know, I'm afraid to let you lose, Mickey, is really what this is all about.
That would be one right and two wrong.
Okay, and remaining we have...
Current events, places, or odds and ends.
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. The Bishop of Bling. Rapper or what?
He's a real bishop.
Okay, say anything more about...
Well, yeah, he claimed that he spent all this money remodeling his area where he lives, and he said he'd spent all that money because it was historical. But it was like $400 million or something. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. So
and the Pope was mad.
Pope was mad. So Pope's he's mad. He's on suspended or something?
Well, I don't know.
What do they do to bishops?
I don't know what they do to him.
Yeah.
Take his ring away.
They took away his major medical? Oh, a sabbatical. That's a major medical. A sabbatical. Bishop, so Mickey, you want to agree with that?
I think Jody's right onto it. You want to find a villain, look for Reverend first.
Okay. lawyers and ministers. And
well, Reverend, you know, okay. Reverend Ike is my throwback to Bishop of Bling.
Okay. So that's right. Anyway, that's right. Yeah, before we get too deep in this discussion, it's 2-2 now. This is looking good.
Thank goodness.
For our ultimate survival and what's left there.
The categories left are places or odds and end. Choose wisely.
Places or odds and ends. Mickey?
I don't know if I can stand this. I had season tickets in 67. I'm used to losing. That's an old guy joke. All right. May I ask what they were again? I was not paying attention.
Season tickets, you had Badger tickets?
In 67, yeah.
Yeah, that was my first year here. They won a half game that year. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe that's what set that course for things.
I had tickets.
So where are we at? We got to finish this quiz.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't because you're expecting to get a call on the line there. What is the question?
The categories remaining are places or odds and ends.
Oh, yeah. Places or odds and ends, Mickey.
I'm going to flip a coin. Odds and ends. Heads.
All right. This is the percentage of doctors who tell you who they are before diving into your business. In other words, when you go into the room there, and maybe I've met this doctor before, the percentage of guys who actually identify themselves as being a doctor, at least, and not an orderly with looking for something to do. Percentage of doctors who tell you who they are before diving into your business is 27%, 40%, or 51%, according to this study.
Boy, I should ask those nurses. They probably know most doctors believe they're God and don't introduce themselves.
Yeah. Guess God does not generally introduce himself.
No. Doctors don't either.
Yeah.
So maybe we go with the low one.
27%? You think that?
Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know. We've all sat in those rooms.
What are they saying?
40%? Strong feeling for 40%, I noticed.
40%?
Or 51%.
Or 51.
Take a survey of the nurses there, Jody.
All right, nurses.
Nurses say
40. Who says 40?
40%? Nurses are thinking 40%. Looks like 40. I hear 40 a lot.
40.
I'm hearing 40, but I don't know. You can't really always go with that, and it's really not fair to ask our audience.
Oh, I didn't realize it was audience participation.
No, it's not. It's actually not. widely known.
Well, Mickey, you led me down the wrong path there. You said
27% or 40% or 51% of doctors who actually tell you who they are before diving into your business.
They tell you who they are.
40%.
40%, Mickey?
No, I don't.
Mickey, you're killing me here. You're killing me.
I don't think they tell you who they are. Typically, they just walk in and they get right to work.
He's feeling 27%.
Yeah. Are you?
I'm feeling a lot of things now.
You're feeling a lot of things?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think, Jody?
Can we sort them out a little bit here in a hurry?
Well, you know,
She's thinking 40%.
I was thinking 40%.
She feels...
Okay, we'll go with 40%.
40% is right. Thank goodness. That means 60% don't, after all. Come on. Holy cow.
Jody, while you're waiting for the real thing to fall, get in the mood with InstaSnow, a handy portable test tube of InstaSnow. It's a handy portable test tube of high-tech powdered polymer. It absorbs water and expands into the marvelous white stuff from ThinkGeek.com. Mickey, from the obscure to the obvious, from the perpendicular to the supine, you'll find it all
supine.
You'll find it all in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. And both of you can add zest to most anything with a jar of medium sweet salsa. It's gluten-free and all-natural from Sanchez Specialties in Almond, Wisconsin. And learn through entertainment with What Do You Know? The Party Game, including the Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jody.
Thank you.
A great time tonight, Mickey.
Thanks.
Hang on just a second. We'll get a mailing address from him. Then he can take that call.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, take care. All right there. He won. That's the important thing. And I'm not a lawyer, really. That's number one, I guess. So we're okay. This tune, want to tell us about it?
No Town of the Week?
I don't think so. You ready for Town of the Week?
No time for Town of the Week, man.
No time, man.
Oh, I've been waiting, waiting, waiting. It's so sad.
Keep waiting because we're running out of time the way it is.
All right, this is called Ex Lento.
Ex Lento.
Bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live broadcast of What Do You Know? Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing. Maybe that's what our Methodist nurses did. And get your tickets today. Whether you arrive solo or en masse, join us next week for another live broadcast of What Do You Know? From the beautiful Monona Terrace featuring local Souls author Alan Gerganis. Tickets available at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock. Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thank you all for coming. Come again. Thank you for listening. Listen again. Talk to you next week. Boys in the band. Come on, boys.
PRI, Public Radio International.